Jude, book of Jude, a little book of Jude this evening. I want to try to bring you a little thought if I could. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
All right. I was trying to find that in John where it talks about how he will guide us. Anybody know that verse? Guide us into all truth. Is that what it says?
16 and 13.
Yes, that's it right there. All right. Let's pray before we start this evening, and then we'll bring you a little thought. We need to meet with the men for a little while this evening. Is that Brother Rob Hen? Brother Hen, good to see you. It's good to see you. You slipped in on me there, so it's good to have you with us this evening. I want to pray before we go any farther. And then we'll go from there. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening. And Lord, you know my inadequacy and my inability. I confess it to you each time I stand. And you know, Father, the struggles I've been through for the last day or two. And I ask you to help me tonight. Father, I want to please you. I want to be used by you to help your people. And Father, just do that if you would. And Father, I ask if you would give me clarity of thought and clarity of mind. And Lord, if you would, just open hearts to receive. And Father, you're a God that just does things. And I ask you, Lord, if you would, to do a work tonight that only you can do. And I'll thank you and praise you for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I kindly mentioned a few things along this, what I'm going to talk to you about the other night. And I'm concerned about powerless Christianity. We're living in a day where we're just like a car that's in a mud hole, and it's just spinning, and the wheels are turning, and the mud's flying, and there's effort to go, but there's not anything being accomplished. And that's my concern. And the problem is this: we can't accomplish anything the Holy Spirit has to. Because we're dealing with hearts and we're dealing with lives, and it takes the Spirit of God to do a work. That's just how simple it is. And we could talk about that for a little bit, and maybe I'm headed in that direction tonight. But the verse I want to look at is this, verse number 20. Now keep in mind, as we come to Jude, we're getting ready to go into the revelation and enter the tribulation period. And so when you get to Jude, false teachers, false religion, false doctrine is abounding on every hand. And the believers are being exhorted to do some things themselves. Now the fact of the matter is, God helps us to do what we ought to do. But the fact of the matter is, you have to do your part if you want God to do His part. You remember, and Brother Bud mentioned this not long ago, Brother Stennett Blue said this, used it, probably as good an example as I can think of. Brother Blue said this: you could pray for a garden, a harvest out of a garden, all day long. Oh God, give me enough green beans to can 100 quarts. Oh God, I'm your child. And oh God, I'm living for you, but would you give me 4 bushel of corn to put up out of my garden? But at the same time, if you never planted seed and you never watered, you never fertilized, it might be foolish to pray that prayer. And the point is this, you have a part and God has a part. And even though God helps you do your part, you still have some effort to put out. And so when we look at verse number 20, I'm in St. John right now, but let me get to verse 20. Here's what Jude says, apostasy on every hand. Nearing the end, the church is getting ready to be called out, getting ready to enter the tribulation. It's a bad situation, but here's what he says, but ye beloved, notice this phrase, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now I want to ask you this. Do you believe in the day we're living in that saints need to be built up? Do you believe that's an important thing? Are they whipped down? Are they low and living defeated and whatever else you want to put with it? Here's what I'm asking. Do we need to be built up? Ask yourself that question. Are you living victorious? Do you need to be built up? You say, now, preacher, I understand what you're saying, but let me tell you what Paul told the Ephesian elders. These were elders. These were men of position in the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter number 20. And he said this, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to do what? Anybody know the scripture? Build you up. It's able to build you up. Paul was interested. He said, I'm getting ready to go, but I know you're going to need to be built up. And I'm going to commend you to the word of His grace. Because it is able, which is able to build you up. And so, Paul, talking to the elders, said this, there's going to come a time you need to be built up, and I want you to know that you can get built up in the word of God. But then, we come over to Jude, and he takes a little different approach, and this is where I want to spend my time at this evening. He said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And then he tells us this little statement, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, that may seem like an odd phrase to some. Preacher, when I pray, I just get down and pray. Well, I understand that. But have you ever got down to pray and get in the, if I can say it and you understand what I mean, just kindly get in the glory and things just start coming to you. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit will do. Now, the Bible says in John 16, what verse was it, Chad? Was it 17? 16 and 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. So part of the work of the Holy Spirit is a guiding work. It's a guiding work. And then in another passage it says He will teach us. Let me see if I can find. Chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Ghost does this. He guides. He guides. He teaches. He brings things to our remembrance. There's other things He does. Of course, He's a Comforter. But He guides. He brings things to our remembrance. And He teaches. Now, if we're praying in the Holy Ghost, would you think that He would bring things to our mind that we need to pray about? Would you think He would guide us in the direction we need to pray about that day? And teach. And so we could, when we talk about praying in the Holy Ghost, and I understand we have to be faithful in our prayer life, and sometimes we pray and it's as if we are not in the Holy Ghost. But if we're going to be build up ourselves, and that may be we build ourselves up collectively as a group, but I think there is an individual application. I think we need to seek to pray in the Holy Ghost. I think that. I think it's important that we pray with the aid of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to ask you, how many times do you pray with the aid of the Holy Spirit? We prayed tonight. I want to ask you this. Did we pray in the Holy Spirit? Did we pray, let me use their word, their phrase, praying in the Holy Ghost? Did tonight, when this church got down on their knees and those young people there and there, and they're praying and we're praying, did we pray in the Holy Ghost? Now let me just ask you that. Well, here's what it says. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what I'm concerned about. We have a powerless church, but we have powerless prayers. We pray, and we pray, and we pray, and it's as if, we're not praying. It's not like Elias, who was a man subject to like passion like as we are. It's not like that. He prayed and the heavens didn't give rain, and he prayed and they did give rain. Now, let me say before I go any farther, I understand sometimes God's timing's different. And there's some things that we have to do, and that's what I'm gonna talk to you about tonight. What are some hindrances to Holy Ghost praying? What are the hindrances? I really have a desire for Wayne Davis to be back Sunday. I have that desire, Brother Allen. I hope y'all are praying. I promise you the devil's fighting him right now. I promise you that. I promise you the devil's giving him every reason in the world why he shouldn't come. But I wonder, are you praying for him? And if you are praying, do we have enough power to get through? That's my question. And I know in this room, including this pastor, we all have prayers that we would like to see answered. And I think we could say prayers that are in the holy, that are in the will of God. Most of us have lost loved ones we'd like to see saved. And the bottom line, we know it's not His will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. When you're praying for sinners to be saved, you don't have to worry about it. You're praying in the will of God. You just count on that. There's some things that we pray that we know is the will of God. Now, I want to talk to you for a little bit. What can hinder our prayers? Why might it be, let me say it that way, why might it be that we pray and we pray and we pray and we just, our prayers, it's just like maybe we're praying and the heavens are brass. Now sometimes it could be God's testing our faithfulness. You remember the story of importunity? I don't know the right adjective, what it would be. The importunate woman who kept going back to the judge and kept going back and kept going back. He said, now I'm not afraid of her, but because she continually wearied me, I'm going to answer her prayer. It may be the Lord wants to see if we're serious. It very well could be. But there are some things that can hinder our prayers. Now, I'm not really going to preach to you tonight. I'm going to do more teaching than I am anything. But the first thing I want to say that will hinder your prayers and keep you from touching heaven is unconfessed sin in your life. Now, I'm sure that's a no-brainer with most of you, because you can go to 1 John chapter 1, and we know sin breaks fellowship with God. And prayer is fellowship with God. And how in the world are we going to have fellowship with God when we have unconfessed sin in our life? Psalm 68 and 18 says this, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Now, I may have got a word or two wrong. That's the gist of what's being said there. In fact, let me just turn over there and read it to you and read it to you right. In Psalm chapter 68 and verse number 18, I believe, I thought it was anyway. That's the wrong text, but I'll look that up for you and give it to you next time around. But in the Psalm, somewhere, you look and you reference there while I'm preaching if you want to, and the Bible teaches if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord won't hear us. Now, I do know where this one's at, Isaiah 59. I want you to get this, and we talk about it all the time. Is his hand short? Is his hand too short to hear us? Is his ear too heavy? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. His hand's not shortened that he cannot save. Is he the same God of the early church, the early New Testament church, as he is today? Now, I understand there'll never be another Pentecost. I understand those things and all that. But I want to say, has the Lord lost any power? Let's go back 100 years. My dad used to say this. I believe he's right. He would say this. He said, them old-timers, he's talking about my grandfather's generation, not his generation. But he said, them old-timers, they didn't know much. That's what he said. He said this, they didn't have commentaries. They didn't have books. They didn't have charts and graphs and all that thing. But here, all those things. But here's what he said. They had enough sense to get their loved ones saved. I like that. I don't know about you, but I just like that. They knew enough to get their family in. They knew enough about how to talk and commune with God and pray and get in His presence that they could get their family saved. Well, that's how it was back then. And so I say amen. Man, I want to ask you, is the Lord's power any weaker than what it was then? What is it? Where are we at? Where's the Lord at in the Ridgeview Baptist Church from time to time? And I know He shows up. I thank Him for what He does. But where is that? Those life-changing services? Where's those services that take sinners and backsliders and they come in and they're under heavy conviction and they get right with God? Where's that at today? Where is it? Are we praying? Need I go around the room and call out your loved ones that need to get right with God? I know every one of you. You know mine. You know I've said multiple times, Karen's got a whole clan of people that claim to be saved, may be lost and on their way to hell. I mean, nothing seen, no character change, no love of anything about God, but they're riding on their way to heaven. And nothing seems to touch them. I get to preach to them at a funeral most of the time. Brother Allen, that's when I get them all gathered up, and that's when I get to preach to them at a funeral. What's wrong? You know what I think? I don't think we're praying effectively. I don't think we're praying in the Holy Ghost. I really don't think we are. Now, I'm not talking about all of you. Some of you, I have the utmost confidence that you're a prayer warrior and you're praying in the Spirit. But I'm talking about God's people as a whole. They're not praying in the Holy Ghost. And if we're going to be built up in these last days as we approach the end time and near the catching away of the church, there's going to have to be some praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, what would keep us from that? Number one, we've said it, sin. Sin. Can I say, I believe an unforgiving spirit can keep you from getting answered prayers. Matthew chapter, let me just give you these. Let's just flip to them. I'm not big on flipping while I preach, but I want to look in Matthew chapter 6. And here it says some odd things, and I understand many folks say this is kingdom gospel, and maybe it is, but I want you to draw a little truth. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now let's say you go to pray and you hate me. I've done something to you and you won't forgive me and you're upset and you're angry at me. You're not going to get over it the way I've treated you. Even if you're right, I want to ask you something. Are you in a mindset to touch heaven? You're just not there. I mean, you can't come in there and be sideways with your brethren in Christ and want God to forgive you and you have an unforgiving spirit. That you're not even in shape to pray. How in the world are you going to have your prayers answered when you can't even, when your mind ain't even right and you do not have the love of God where it needs to be and you're sideways, how in the world are you going to touch heaven? Now, you can take that and do whatever you want to with that verse, but I think there's some practical truth there. You're going to have your heart right, a spirit of forgiveness about you. And if you really, if you're not willing to forgive, you're not right with God. You're just not right. If you're sitting on the pew and you're holding hard feelings and a grudge at somebody and you're unforgiving, I'm convinced your prayer won't get past the ceiling. Now listen, there's a reality to this thing. And if we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to be forgiving people. That's just how it is. And so, number one is sin. But number two, I think there's a lot of people praying with an unforgiving heart, carrying a grudge, wrathful, angry, upset, somebody. Maybe rightfully so. I'm not necessarily saying they're wrong. Maybe they were done wrong. I'm saying it's not right to hold a grudge and be upset and angry and just bottle that up. I'm not saying that. But maybe what happened, they were done wrong. Maybe that's so. But I won't tell you, I don't care how bad somebody does you wrong, you've probably done the Lord a lot worse wrong than they've done to you. That's right. You might want to look at how you treat the Lord. And He still forgives you. And you ought to be forgiven of your weak brother when he gets sideways and does you wrong. That's always helped me, Brother Allen, to be forgiven when I think, wow, God has to forgive me sometimes over and over for the same old thing. Amen. My goodness. We want forgiveness and we don't want to forgive anybody. I believe we're going to have to get our heart right there. And so sin, first of all, sin, that is sin, but I'm just pulling that out. Unconfessed sin, undealt with sin, keep your prayers, keep you from praying in the Holy Ghost. Unforgiving spirit, doubt and unbelief will keep you from praying the Holy Ghost. Hey, James says this, and let's just look in Mark 11 first. That'd be a little closer. In Mark chapter 11 and verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, what's your Bible say? Somebody said it. What was it? Believe what? Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now we understand you have to put all the scriptures together to get the full doctrine of prayer. But here's what I think we can learn from that text is God expects us to believe when we ask. If you don't believe, well, let's just read it. Let's go to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 6, but let him ask. Now we're talking about asking for wisdom, I understand that. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now listen what it says. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Do you believe we're going to have faith in the Lord that He'll answer our prayers if we're going to receive anything? Am I missing it? Am I missing that text? Or does it say, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You have to have faith. You have to believe God. You have to know you're praying in the will of God, really, if you're going to have faith. I know it's the will of God for Wayne Davis to be saved. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I know what the Calvinists teach, but it's a false doctrine. And it's going on the internet. Calvinism is a false doctrine. That's how it is. It's a false doctrine. And it's damned many souls to a devil's hell. I'll never forget my dad walked up to the porch, and I used to be able to call the fellow's name. I still remember his last name. My dad was inviting him to church, and he was a lost man. He says, well, what's going to be is going to be. If I get saved, if the Lord wants me to be saved, I'll get saved before I leave here. And if He don't, I won't. That's a Calvinistic attitude. And it's unscriptural. Just how it is. And if you lean that way, you better start leaning the other way because you're getting ready to fall off into doctrinal error. I just feel strong about it. And so I think we can't pray in the Holy Ghost and we can't get our answers, our prayers answered because, number one, of sin. Number two, we have an unforgiving spirit from time to time. And number three, because of doubt and unbelief. Doubt and unbelief. Now, I'm not this name it and claim it and blab it and grab it, and I understand all that. I understand how all that is. But that's not what I'm talking about. We have to believe God. He does have all power in heaven and earth. You do believe that. I do believe God can make a difference in this church. We need God to do a work in this church. Y'all believe that? Have we arrived? I mean, has the Ridgeview Baptist Church reached the pinnacle and we're there? Hey, do we have some folks that's struggling? Hey, would you be honest enough and just say this, I'm struggling? Let me tell you, I struggle. Oh, wait a minute, you're the pastor, you don't mean you. Hey, I have times I struggle spiritually. You do too, if you'd be honest about it. That's right. My. I mean, look at the little crowd we got tonight. Where's the rest of them? It's church time, forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Where are they at? Some are sick. Brother Don's in the hospital. Some we can explain. Where's those we can't explain? Where are they at? Church's not important to them. I'm just asking you. Wednesday night not important? I don't know. We need the Lord. If you care about this church, you ought to be praying about it. You pray for your church. What about your pastor? Man, I've been in the battle lately. Nobody knows it, but I do. I've been in the battle. You've been praying for me. You ought to. The devil tried to tear you down. Don't you know the devil's after the man of God? Don't you understand that? Don't you know he'd like nothing better? Hey, if he can get rid of the shepherd, what's going to happen to the flock? Here's what I'm saying. We need to be praying in the Holy Ghost. We need to make sure. We need to make sure we've dealt with sin. We need to make sure we have a forgiving heart about us. And we need to make sure we're praying in belief, in faith. Well, what else? I want you to look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. Here's what the Bible said. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, now here's what I want you to get. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now here's what he said. If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. You know what I think? Let me tell you what I think. Let me tell you what I know. There's things that's wrong for you to do, and you can't find a black and white chapter and verse. I'm telling you right. You might find a principle. You can't find a black and white verse that says, thou shalt not, whatever it is. But if you're saved, down on the inside, there's a Holy Ghost that'll prick your heart and let you know you're doing wrong. Isn't that right? Have you ever known you've done something wrong, but you're not sure what it is? I've done that with my tongue a lot. I've said something, and the minute I said it, I was convicted in my heart. And Brother Miller, not really knowing exactly what it was. Most likely my attitude, the way I delivered what I said. I'm not talking about going around cursing and all that, but just mean and hateful and ugly and sarcastic and whatever it is. And I know the minute I said it, there's not something I could put my finger on and say, hey, this was wrong that I said. But I know I said something I ought not to have said. And if your heart condemns you, you better leave it alone. You don't need to come to the preacher and say, preacher, what do you think? Is this okay for me to do? If you have to ask me, there's probably a good chance y'all just leave it alone. Y'all just leave it alone. And there's things I just can't do. There's things preachers do I can't do. I can't do it. I can't. Let me just give you one. I can't wear knee breeches. I can't do it. You say your thigh's covered. I can't do it. I don't know why. My heart condemns me for that. Now, can I show you a verse that says, if your thigh's covered, you still ought not to wear? I can't show you anything. I just know, I think it's a separation issue is what I think. I think people wear knee breeches so they can fit in with the world. Boy, it's real quiet in here. We may all wear knee breeches. I hope you don't. But if you do, you just do. Fact of the matter is, it's a separation issue. It's not a nakedness issue. It's a separation issue. Now you just take that home with you. And I start to say smoke on it, but that ain't the thing to do. You just take that home and think on it. Yeah. Yeah, don't chew on it either, Brother Bud said. We don't want to do that. But I'm telling you, I can't do that. I just can't. My heart condemns me. Be careful. A condemned heart. It's when we have an uncondemned heart that we have confidence towards God. That uncondemned heart. Does your heart condemn you in some things? I'm just asking you, does it condemn you? And you can't really put a finger on it. You don't have a chapter and a verse, but your heart condemns you about it. You better be careful of it if it does. You better be careful. And I'm not saying, I'm not going to get up here and say you need to do this and this and this and this, because, and even though it's not the Word of God, it's right. I'm not going to do that. I'm not. This is your heart and your Lord. Between you and Him. It's between you and Him. There's things condemn my heart that I see other people doing, and I can't understand it. I don't know why I can't and they can. I don't understand. I can't tell you that. I just know I can't do it. Well, a condemned heart. He says, "But if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him." And so, a condemned heart. And then James 4:3 tells us this, if we pray selfishly, it's going to hinder us praying in the Holy Spirit. In James 4:3, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Oh my, well, Lord, give me a new car. Lord, give me a fine home, Lord. I don't know what it might be. But a lot of praying, selfish praying. A lot of praying because we're selfish people. By nature, that's who we are. Brother Miller, it's right. I appreciate that amen because it's so. We're selfish people. And we would not have anybody know, but really what we're really interested in is what's best for us. Lord, if you'd just give me this. And we might try to camouflage it behind something spiritual, but the Lord knows. We ask and receive not because we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lust. And so self-centeredness and selfishness hinders us from praying in the Holy Ghost and hinders us from being built up. Are you self-centered? Are you selfish? Is it all about you and nobody knows it? But really, you live your life for my Ford no more. There's people that does. And they hide it. Nobody knows it. They act like they care. They act like they're concerned. But really, they're self-centered. When they pray for their benefit. Their fleshly benefit. That's what it's all about. Well, that's going to hinder you if you are. If you are, that's going to hinder you. And then in 1 John 5:14, we'll be hindered from praying in the Holy Ghost if we pray contrary to the will of the Lord. In John 5, just get over here. We're just jumping around all over tonight. And this is the confidence that, this is verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Now, there's a lot of things I pray for that I'm not sure is the Lord's will, and I think it's the Lord's will. And there's more scripture I'm reading all the time. The prosperity verse in Psalms. The Lord delights for us to be prosperous. And I don't know that that's financial. I think it's more spiritual than it is financial. He wants us to be spiritually prosperous. He wants this church to be prosperous. He will get glory when it's prosperous. I believe that. Now, you better be careful what you pray. Sometimes the Lord might answer your prayer when it's not His will. Remember the children of Israel? What was it they were praying? Was it the quail? And He gave them the desire of their heart but sent leanness into their soul? Am I thinking right? Right in that passage. It's something about children of Israel. Whether it was the manna, whether it was the quail. It was one of those. And they got what they prayed for, but when they got it, it didn't satisfy them. You better be careful. Let me tell you, the Lord knows more what you need than you know what you need. That's right. He does. And so, we need to pray in the will of the Lord. And to pray contrary to the Lord's will is praying outside of the Holy Ghost, is what I'm saying. And then 1 Peter chapter 3. This is one I want you to think about. 1 Peter chapter 3, if I've got the... verse number 7, it says, likewise, ye husbands, speaking about the wives, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers, what's the next three words? Be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. Can I say wrong relations within your family? Maybe I ought to just say spouse, and that's what it's dealing with. Wrong relations with your spouse, ungodly relationship with your spouse, will hinder your prayers. Don't come in here fussing and fighting with your wife and think you're going to come to the altar and touch heaven. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I'm going to tell you, we need to touch heaven with our prayers. There's too many lost people affiliated in this group. And even those who are not lost but have left the old way and went to a worldly, liberal, ungodly church. Hey, can I tell you, the Lord will never lead you to leave a godly church and go to a less godly church. I'm telling you right. He might lead you to leave a godly church and go to a more godly church, not a less godly church. And when people tell me that, they're sideways. I know they are. And so here's what I'm saying. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Wrong family relationships will hinder you from praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me just give you a couple of us, and I'm going to be through. Refusing to put the armor of God on. Do you know Ephesians 6 goes through that whole armor, and then it says pray. The whole, just go over and read it. Then you pray. We're going to the battlefield naked. Are you girt about with truth? Many of God's people don't even know, they don't have a clue what the truth is. They don't know what truth is. How are they going to have their loins girt about with truth? They don't even know what the Bible teaches. And we could go on with that whole, and I'm not going to, with that whole situation there. They don't have it. They're not prepared with the gospel. Feet's not shod with the preparation of the gospel. I've had a so-called preacher come to me and say, this person wants to get saved. He said he was a preacher anyways. He didn't know how to lead her to the Lord, and he brought her to me to tell her how to be saved. Could you lead somebody to the Lord? Do you have enough spiritual truth to lead somebody to the Lord? Do you have enough spiritual truth you could tell a charismatic why he was wrong? Where he was in error in his doctrine? I'm going to tell you, if we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, we need the armor of God in our lives. You can say whatever you want to say. And then, if we're going to pray in the Holy Ghost, we can't offend Him. We can't quench or grieve or do despite to or lie to or blaspheme against or all them sins against the Holy Ghost that's in the Word of God. We're going to have to be right with Him. Resist Him. You can't resist Him, be right. Sit on the pew and he's wanting you to testify, and you sit there like a wooden Indian and your heart about to beat out of your chest and you just won't. I want to tell you, God's not pleased with that. You're resisting the Holy Ghost. You're quenching the Holy Ghost. God's not pleased with it. And I tell you what, I'd rather make a mistake trying to obey the Lord and not grieve and not quench and not resist the Holy Ghost as to sit there and quench and grieve. I'd rather make a mistake trying to do right than sitting there than make a mistake knowing I need to do something. That's just me. Here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid we're not living clean enough lives we can get through to heaven. That's what I'm afraid of. And I'm afraid we go through the motions we did tonight. Maybe we touched heaven. I hope we did. I hope you touched heaven tonight. I hope your prayer was effective. But there's a good chance a lot of those prayers were rote prayers. How many of you could just pray a prayer just now? Just say a prayer. Just say, we all have a form of a prayer we can say. Isn't that right? You know that's right. Well, if we're going to be built up in these last days, we're going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost. And there's no way around it. And I know we can be built up by the Word of God from Acts 20. I understand that. But He said building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. He expects us to have a part in this thing. Church, I don't know. I'm at the age and the time in my life I'm sick of dead church, dead churches. I'm sick of powerless services and meetings. I'm sick of half-heartedness. I believe it makes God sick. Well, we know it does. Revelation 3, lukewarmness. I would thou wert hot or cold. Why waste the time, energy, effort if we're not going to be serious about it? Why? Why even try to pray if you're not going to try to pray in the Holy Ghost? If you're not going to deal with your sins and some of these other things we talked about tonight? Why? I'm too busy to play little games to try to impress you and you impress me. Who cares? All that matters is that we please God. And He wants us to pray in the Holy Ghost. And we just are playing about it. And I understand it's hard to pray, and sometimes you just have to be faithful and if I can just say it this way, fight your way through it. I'm telling you, somebody's going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost if we're going to get any help around here. And man, we sure need it. We sure need it. I don't know how to close this out tonight. Maybe we all just come around the altar and pray. You know, I don't know. Maybe you're sitting out there thinking the preacher's trying to manipulate me. He's trying to bait me. I'm just sick of playing, church. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of leadership that's worldly as the devil. I'm just sick of all that stuff. When are we going to put the Lord first? Just when is He going to be first? That's all I'm asking. He ought to be, and we know He ought to be. When are we just going to say, Lord, whatever You want today, that's what I want. And I'm probably as guilty as any of you. If you want to just nail me, you've watched me and you found fault in me, just go ahead. Just go ahead. I don't care. But I'm serious as I can be about it. And I failed. Man, I failed miserably. I'm just a total failure in so many ways. I'm as serious as I can be about this work. I'm as serious as I can be. And I've put my heart and my life in it with all my failures and all my shortcomings. I put my heart and life in it. And I don't want to play. I just don't want to play. And I just want to ask you, would you get serious about the work of the Lord? Would you just get serious about the work of the Lord?